I met Nicholas Adder, 27 years old, from Ghana, as he was walking back up to the camp with his 4 months pregnant wife. He had several sheets of brown cardboard under his arm. There was, as we approached the camp, a powerful smell of excrement. There are high steel barbed wire fences, so you might think there'd be some order. But order at Samos camp has given way because of the overcrowding. There's a restricted area where people queue for hours for food, but there are now 7,500 people living in and around a camp of metal container huts that was built for 680. My house was here and it got burnt, Nicholas explains, and tells me about the fire in October that broke out during a fight between Afghans and Syrians. A friend gave him this one, made of wooden pallets and plastic sheeting. We go in. He shows me how he's going to use the cardboard to reinforce the ceiling because of the rats. See, look, look. And sure enough, a rat is poking its head up behind the bed. Nicholas takes a swipe at it with a stick. At night we can't sleep because of the rats, he says. He keeps his food in a solid plastic bin, but sometimes they gnaw the water bottles and flood the place. Ask him about sanitation in the camp. The toilets are so disgusting, they go to the bush, he says. They've been in the camp for 3 months. They have their first interview soon to determine whether they qualify for asylum. Is this a lot worse than what you left behind in Ghana? Yes, he says. But he had to leave, family reasons. His wife was from another tribe. Her father was against their marriage, wanted his wife to abort their baby, and had threatened to kill him. As we're talking, the rat comes back. Nicholas takes another swipe at it. It scuttles across the cardboard above my head. From the camp that sprawls up the wooded hillside, you can see the whitewashed houses of the rest of Samos town. It's not a closed camp, although the government recently announced its wish to replace it by a larger closed facility. For now, the migrants can come and go, wander around the streets that used to be full of tourists, take the money UNHCR gives them each month out of the cash machines, watch the football on the telly through cafe windows, watch the ferries leave for Athens, ferries they're not allowed to take. There's nothing but a gurgling open sewer and a road between the camp and the town. So what's it like for the people who live there, on the edge of this pit of human misery, on the edge of Europe? Hello, I called out in front of the first house. Silence. Maybe it's siesta time. But a few houses later, a woman's voice replied, and in a twinkling, I was sitting in Effie Vasilia's garage, where, she says, it's nice and cool in summer and nice and warm in winter, drinking grainy Greek coffee with her husband and extended family. So I asked her, how are you getting on with your 7,500 new neighbours? Our ordinary life has changed, she told me. We used to go out walking, even at night time. Now I'm scared. It's like a prison in our home. Where are you from? Her husband, Yanni, asks me. England, I said. Tell me, is this true? And he passed me over his telephone. And in a garage on a Greek island, I watched, on a Greek's Samsung, a 2-minute film of a demonstration in a northern English town where British nationalists brandishing wooden crosses were marching into a Muslim neighbourhood. Unhelpfully, an Asian-origin butcher jeered that they, the demonstrators, didn't like it, that they, the Muslims, were, as he put it, taking over. I'm worried, said Yanni, that in a few years it'll be like this here too. He said he missed the way they lived on the island before the migrants came. We used to leave our cars unlocked with the keys in the ignition, he says. Now we have to lock them, even if we're just stopping for a minute to buy cigarettes. Samos people used to bring food to the asylum seekers back when they thought they were just passing through, like in 2015. Now the situation has hardened into something more permanent. Attitudes have hardened too. The mayor told me the ratio of migrants to locals is now more than 1-to-1 in Samos town, and people are scared because of the behaviour of some of them. Theft, people walking into people's gardens, harassment of women and children, he says. Back in the garage, Effie has produced some of the sweet local wine, some ewe's milk cheese, and some black marinated cherries. Despite the negative impact on their lives, she's genuinely distraught about the conditions the migrants, especially the children, are living in. I can tell you about the camp because I've been in there, she says. Nobody should live there. Nobody. About this, migrants and islanders agree. But every day, an average of 50 new migrants arrive on Samos and enter its sickening camp. Here, as on the other Greek islands of the eastern Aegean, with every passing day, a bad situation is quite rapidly getting worse. John Lawrence, DW, Samos, Greece.